Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We'll be sitting at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, regaling in great tales about what some club called the Chudder did, because I'm sure it'll be used probably seven or eight times. It probably bailed the team out repeatedly. Or maybe not. Welcome. Great to have you with us. Sean, how are you?
We're doing great. I have some wonderful news for you regarding your golfing partner tomorrow for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament.
Wakeman. Fabulous. So Jack's going to play? All the way up from Florida? I'm glad Barbara Nicholas would lend him.
Wakeman's got her clubs.
Oh, great news.
She's got her clubs, yes. Yes, the exchange
now, I would
was
like
made.
I would like to point out actually how important that is. Because, you know, people can rent clubs. I understand that. Or you can borrow somebody else's club. You can do that. But my game, which is, it's okay. But I have exponentially more fun now because I do play better now. And I think a big reason why is that when I decided to really throw myself into it and have some fun with it, that I, when I bought new clubs, got a club fitting. And getting a club fitting where the clubs match your height, match your stature, match how you hit, because they go through everything with you when you do it. It's changed. I would say for me, it's probably knocked seven strokes around off my game. How about that? I'd say seven, maybe even eight at times. 7 to 8 strokes off my game because I got a club fitting. Because I now have clubs that fit me. I'm also using modern equipment as opposed to what I was using before. So I'm glad she got her clubs. That's good news.
Yeah, Jen got on the phone with Pops and met her halfway from where he lives, where she lives here in the Valley, and the exchange has been made. And
well, let me put it to you this way. She gets it.
Yeah.
And Dave Ritchie's going to play. And then the reason all of us need Purdy insurance is going to play.
We're looking forward to it, of course.
We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. What time does this thing start? Just want to make sure I'm there on time. That's the one thing I want to make. Obviously, I have to travel a little bit of a distance. Now, last year, I didn't. Last year, for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament, I actually had a speaking engagement up in Scranton. And I stayed overnight at a Marriott. Near Hazleton, Cunningham, someplace like that, and then just drove over that morning. It was actually nice and easy.
Back on 80 down to 15, bada bing, bada boom, you were good to go.
Oh, I was in good shape. I remember popped in, made a little bit nicer because Tom Bradley gave me, early in the morning, Tom Bradley gives me a call from the coast about how things were going at UCLA at the time. And, yeah, last year was different. Last year was a little bit easier.
Tomorrow is to go as far. 7, according to Dr. Chudder, 7:30 with a shotgun start of 8 o'clock.
Okay, so we're starting at 8 o'clock. So if I'm there at 7:45, we're good. Okay.
That's how you roll, whether it's golf day or game day.
No, but I'm just saying, don't do this. 7:30, we tee at 8. Just tell me what time we tee off.
I'm just sharing the info I got for you.
It's not your fault that you're getting info from...
Oh, it's 7 o'clock Steve time. Okay, whatever that means.
No, if we're teeing off at 8 o'clock, I'll be there at 7:45.
Yeah.
It's all good. You know, I mean, we're not a 9-to-5 suit guy. You know, Jen's works long hours. Richie works long hours. I work long hours. I mean, there's only one 9-to-5 suit guy in the group. Who might that be?
Yeah, you have to let us know if he's doing deals while you're on the course tomorrow.
We're going to ignore him in terms of whether he's doing deals or not. His deals. Oh, come on. You know. Deals. All I know is we're going to have an absolute blast. We are going to have a blast tomorrow. It is going to be incredibly fun. It's going to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA and all the great youth programs that they have. We're looking forward to this. Some special contests out there. Hole in one prizes, longest drive, raffle prizes, closest to the flag on the par threes, closest to the line, chipping contest. Sunbury Textile is going to be helping to give out golf gloves tomorrow, which is going to be great. And we're just going to have fun. We're going to do the show out on the patio out there. So I am... This is one of those. Oh, here it is. 8 o'clock a.m. There we go. I looked it up online. Be there at 7:30. Where does he come up with this stuff?
You need to be there at 7, not 7:30. It's 7.
Why do I have to be there at 7? Why do I have to be there at 7 o'clock?
Because I want to make sure you're all set up and good to go. I mean, let's face it. You're the one that's going to carry this team. I got to make sure you're all ready to go.
You know, nothing's changed. You still panic about everything.
Hey, a topic for tomorrow, while the Sunbury Motor Studio is on the road, is the IndyCar race in Boston. Looks like it won't happen.
Well, none of them should happen.
Oh, come
All
on
right.
now.
My favorite racing story of the week is the dude... Nico Rosberg, whatever his name is,
that
blew
Nico
up
Rosberg.
Putin in Sochi. Yeah, I'm like, oh, hey, way to go, man. Kiss my ring. No. All right. We got a lot to talk about today. Are you done with your IndyCar thing? Or
Yeah, that's your five good IndyCar seconds.
Hey, Sean, since we started the show, isn't that the only 5 seconds we've had on?
I know. I keep getting emails about it, too. They said, ever since you left the show, there's no IndyCar. We're really upset about it.
And the other reference was last month, Doug in Wellsboro was missing it, but I think he was being rather sarcastic.
No, he's being honest. I don't know how you guys want to take it, but I think he's being honest. Listen, I sat and listened as I was driving around yesterday, and I heard you guys talking about Premier League.
But that's something that happened for the first time in 132 years.
That's what I'm saying. But I mean, now I know Steve somewhat follows it because he has friends that follow it. I know Sean is very much into it. No question about that. But then this morning, I hear it on CBS News, and I'm like, Steve Jones Show on the pulse of the world sports scene now.
When you're 0 for 132, which is slightly worse than how Kasich's done. All right. When you're 0 for 132... and you win, and the odds are 5,001, and 128 people have bet it, and allegedly Tom Hanks is one of them. And allegedly Tom Hanks put £100 on this deal, which means he'd bring back 500,000 pounds. Well, it's an amazing story. Ladbrokes and Hills, two of the primary sports betting houses in England, have been desperately over the last month trying to settle with people to get their costs down. Altogether, all the betting houses are going to lose approximately $29 million. on this. They have also said they are never going to make a team in any sport, anywhere, anytime, more than 1,000 to 1 ever again. Leicester City was 5,000 to 1, and that's why we brought it up yesterday. We brought it up yesterday because it's a remarkable story. This team was, this program was so bad that they were relegated to essentially Division III. The Champions League is Division II. The Champions League is like AAA. And then they were relegated to, what's the other one called? I think it's called League One. League One, I think, is what it's called, which is down from that. And they had to win their way out of League One just to get back to the Champions League. This is all in the last 10 years.
Yeah, there's like four different levels in European soccer. And you take all the guys that are on Leicester City. I mean, you got two guys on Manchester United that are getting paid something like $30 million. And that covers everybody on Leicester City's roster.
The transfer, in the transfer window, the transfer on one of the Manchester City players was $84 million this year. The entire Leicester City roster is $80 million. Being relegated to League One, where they were, I think, where they were in League One, I want to say 4 years ago, 5 years ago, they were in League One. That is the equivalent of the Reading Fighting Phils. I mean, that's like being in Double A. And it's like the Reading Fighting Phils moving their way up, finally getting themselves to AAA, and then finally getting themselves to the majors, and then winning the World Series in the majors. Last year, Leicester City, with 9 matches to play, was on the verge of being relegated again and won 7 of their last 9 to get themselves to stay in the Premier League. And then this year they won it. They had finished second once. You know what their other best was in their entire history in the Premier League? 8th. So they finished first once, second once, 8th once in 132 years. That's how remarkable this story is. And the money, and again, the brokerage houses, the sports betting houses, like the house does not normally lose. That's why they're in business and are as opulent as they happen to be, because they don't lose. That's why this is one moment where, in the case of 128 individual bettors, they lost and lost big. It is a remarkable story on several different levels. Hey, you bring that Cheddar with you tomorrow?
It's the best club I have in the bag. Of course, that's not saying a ton, but it is the best club I have in the bag.
Well, we might need it, so just bring it. I mean, as illegal as it is, just bring it.
It actually has its own theme song now when it is Cheddar time. I can play it for you off my iPhone.
I think I'll ride with Wakeman tomorrow in the cart. All right.
I'll see you tomorrow, bud.
Yeah, I'll be there at 7:52.
59.
No, I got to check in. Want to give them a check for the additional $25. It's 25th year. I want to do a whole bunch of things I want to do. All right? I'll be there in plenty of time. Don't panic. And remember, Jen gets the hit from the red tees. I love that tournament. Love the layout, too. You know, and some of the views. You get up the view on one, the view when you're on the one, the 1T, the 10T, and the 9T are really unbelievably beautiful. Gorgeous course. Love the layout very much. Love the layout. I think the toughest hole in that, the two toughest holes in that course, I think 10's really tough. It's a par 5, narrow, homes on the left, which come into play for Kev.
So does 2, where the homes are on the right. Anything but down the middle comes into play for me.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that. You hit it into the front yard of that place one time.
Yeah. Yeah. I've lost a few golf balls I think it's Buscar's front yard.
Yeah. And then that par three over the creek, that's a tough one. We actually started out the tournament there 2 years ago on that one, where we had hit it over the creek, and that the green is, I mean, to me, par is a really good score on that hole because that green is awfully tough. Awfully tough. Did I ever tell you the story? I was playing at Ventana Canyon in Tucson, Arizona. They played the Skins game there once. And Dave Baker and I were playing the mountain course. And to be honest with you, we have played the mountain course. Dave and I have probably played that course maybe 6 or 7 times because we played so many tournaments down there in Tucson. So one of them, we went out there, and the pro says, "Hey, you guys want a little slice of local knowledge?" I said, "Yeah, sure. I'll take whatever I can get here. Why not?" He said, "Look, no matter what you think, everything breaks away from the mountain." I'm like, "Oh, okay." So we were playing a par four, and it was uphill, and Dave and I both hit our shots onto the green. And it is obvious, my putt, I said, "Dave, look at this. It looks like it breaks right to left." He goes, "No, there's no doubt it breaks right to left." He says, "Geez," he said, "you're going to probably have to play about a foot out and bring it down." I said, "But he said everything breaks away from the mountain." He said, "Yeah, he did, didn't he?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know what?" I said, it's his layout. It's his course. I said, "Let's test it out. I'm going to hit it a foot out left to right and see." I said, "If it fails, it fails." He goes, "Go ahead." I dropped the putt. He was right. It broke away from the mountain. There's no conceivable way it should have broken away from the mountain. On that one, on that hole, that little par three, everything breaks toward the creek. And it is a hard break. I don't care what part of the green you're on. All right. We'll take a break. We will come back, Sean Carey, Ricky Fowler, and I in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Phillies at 7:40 tonight, Busch Stadium in St. Louis, right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll stick with baseball next half hour. The nation's fifth-ranked college baseball team is going to play here this weekend. TCU will take on Penn State. Penn State baseball coach Rob Cooper on the fifth-ranked Horned Frogs in Happy Valley next half hour. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummelsworth. Looking forward to see all of you out there tomorrow at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club for the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA and all of their great youth programs. We can't wait to be there. We can't wait to see you tomorrow.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. A little trouble today on the roadways. But Sean, 3 different accidents evidently have slowed down traffic near Shamokin Dam.
Yeah, Snyder County 911 tells us that there are 3 separate non-injury accidents on the strip on routes 11 and 15 southbound near Monroe Marketplace. Very, very slow traffic, especially going south. So if you can, avoid the area on your way home.
All right, so we'll keep you up to date on all of that. Phillies tonight at 7:40. That's the airtime as they take on the Cardinals in game 2 of that 3-game set at Busch. Rob Cooper, Penn State baseball coach, in a moment, because they've got the fifth-ranked team in the country coming in, TCU. TCU coming in here for a 3-game set with Penn State. First of all, this day in sports history, Joe DiMaggio made his major league debut with the Yankees in 1936. And typical of Jolton Joe DiMaggio, he got 3 hits. 1938, Lefty Grove got its first of a record 20 consecutive wins. 1969, President Nixon attended the Kentucky Derby at Churchill Downs in Louisville. First time a sitting U.S. president attended the race. By the way, we will talk with Dick Girardi from Louisville on the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby on Friday. Dick Girardi on Friday's show. 521st career home run for Willie McCovey with the Giants on the state in 1980. 1980 as well, Ferguson Jenkins, then with the Rangers, became the fourth player to win 100 games in both the American and National Leagues. 1986, Don Mattingly became the sixth player to hit three sacrifice flies in a game. 1992, Eddie Murray, then with the Mets, became the 24th player to hit 400 home runs in his career. And Golden State beat Dallas in Game 6 in 2007 to become the first number 8 seed to beat a number 1 seed in a 7-game playoff series. Recall the Nuggets once did it, but it was in a 5-game series. That is this day in sports history. Or as Sean, from more sophisticated areas, refers to it as d'histoire. But Sean's from a different neighborhood than the rest of us.
That's what I've been told.
Absolutely. You know, what's difficult when you go out for dinner with Sean, and he says, do you take Diners Club? I mean, at that point, even I get a little, okay, what's going on here? Kind of reminds me of the alligator in the restaurant. Thanks, Dennis.
That's a great spot.
Right. Hey, telling them that you have Diners Club is the same thing, Sean. All right. Penn State baseball. Yeah, normally not a topic that we have on the show, but when you have the fifth-ranked team in the country coming in for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you do talk about it. And TCU is going to be here to take on Penn State. Hola, buenos dias, and good afternoon. Great to have you with us, Coop.
Well, it's good to be on, and I would have called even earlier, but the problem is, as I was arguing with the guy that scheduled this upcoming weekend against this, you know, this cream puff type team that we're getting ready to play, but I was actually looking in the mirror. Not really sure what I was thinking, but we're excited to play it, my friend.
Yeah. I was going to say, you don't have to look too far to find the dude that scheduled it.
Yeah. No, who's the idiot that did that?
But
I'm looking at him.
But now, in all seriousness, all right, the comedy routine aside here, how much do you think it helps a program when you are scheduling really great programs to compete against? In the end, what does that do for the competition level of your team?
Well, and definitely, like you said, all kidding around aside, I this is what I like doing for our guys. I feel like when you schedule programs like a TCU, like South Carolina earlier in the season, you're playing teams that are in regional, super regionals in Omaha on a consistent basis. And that's the level that I want to see us get to here at Penn State. And, you know, people have asked me, you know, kind of what are you looking to get out of this weekend? Well, there's a couple things. I mean, one, you know, we're still fighting for a chance to get to our conference tournament. So for us to be able to play a team like this that, you know, will prepare us for the last two weekends and hopefully a chance in the conference tournament, you know, I think that it's a perfect timing for it. The other thing is you know, I think you and I, one of the first interviews we ever had, I said, you know, there's nothing, one of the goals that I have is I want to see someday us hosting a super regional here. That's at Medlar Field and going to Omaha. Well, this is the type of team that we would play. And so, you know, it's the best 2 out of 3 when you do that. So for us, it's a chance to kind of, you know, get some practice in doing that, get our guys used to playing teams like that. And it's a huge deal for us to do that, because that's the kind of program we want to be.
What kind of mental grind is a series like this where you feel like each pitch there's something on it?
Well, I think it's definitely a grind. I do think that the way our guys have been handling the season and, you know, making every game important, making every pitch important, you know, and knowing that, you know, this is a chance to do something neat, you know, and to have a program like TCU come in and everything, then, you know, I think it gives our guys, you know, even more focus. And, you know, the guys will be done with finals, and so now it's the next, you know, 3 weeks are basically like playing professional baseball. So they get a chance to kind of get away from school and just think about baseball and And I think it's a grind, but I also think it's coming at the right time.
I brought up finals to you last week because some finals are scheduled the week before the actual finals week. But this is finals week. Have you restructured your practices at all in terms of when you go and so forth because you have to work around some schedules?
Sure. You know, what we did is we – even though I don't like playing doubleheaders, we played a doubleheader Saturday, and so that gave us all Sunday off. And I actually felt like our guys were exhausted, so we gave them Sunday and Monday off, let them really kind of get off their feet, get themselves ready for finals, and kind of you know, just take a blow away from the game. And so that was the first thing. Usually, we play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We take Monday one day off, but we gave them 2 days off back to back. And then what we did is during that day, during Sunday, Monday, we collected all their final schedules. And then, like, we're going to practice today at 2 o'clock. That's usually about an hour earlier than what we normally do. And, okay. And we're not going to have everybody there, but it's the time, the block of time that we get that we're going to have most of the guys there. And, you know, I mean, anybody that has stuff they have to attend to academically, that's their first priority. But I also think it gives our guys a chance to escape the studying for a little bit and just – kind of release and go out and play, and then everything will be there for them when they get back.
Well, there was always a theory here. It was called the blue line. And Joe said, hey, look, when you cross the blue line, all you know, the only thing you can concentrate on is football because you can't do anything about the other stuff. But when you cross back over the blue line, look, you can take care of all the other stuff. Is that essentially what you're telling your guys? Hey, look, you step out of the dugout, there's only one thing you can take care of at that moment. You can't take care of the math final.
Exactly, and that's the exact way you got to look at it. And I think what that does, too, is that builds into the mental game, and that builds into people that are highly successful, because what they do is, you know, you're able to go, okay, yeah, there's a lot of distractions out there, and I have other things going on, but when I'm here, I got to be present at what I'm doing so I can do the best job I can. And that, and then when I leave here, I can't do anything more about it here. And I go and I take care of my academics, and I got to make sure that I'm present there and do the things that I need to do. So, you know, I think it's a great way. Obviously, you know, the Coach Paterno was on to a few things. He seems to know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think that's a perfect way of explaining it, actually.
Yeah. How has your team handled adversity, in your opinion? Are they better at it now than a year ago? Are they better at it now than February, March? Where are they in terms of the ability to handle adversity?
I think, well, first of all, I think it's a complete 180 from, you know, a year ago and the year before. I think we're really good at handling adversity and really kind of number one. And I think one of the biggest things, Steve, is you got to look at what adversity really is. I think a lot of times when guys have adversity, it means they're failing or they're not doing well or they can't do it. And it almost attacks who they are as a person, as some of their identity. So they almost try to pretend like it's not really happening. But the truth is if you look at adversity as what it is, it's a gift to teach you what you need to do to become better. And that's what our guys are doing. And they're even better at it than they were at the beginning of the year. I think at the beginning of the year, still had a lot of guys that were kind of feeling their way through it, not really willing to let go and be uncomfortable in certain situations. And our guys are doing that. And, you know, it's actually something that I talked about a lot Saturday after both games. But, you know, we only won one game this weekend, but I'm telling you, we played 27 innings and our guys competed and fought through it and never let the situation of the game dictate their energy or their mindset.
I've seen this in football, and I've seen this in basketball a lot, where, for example, James Franklin and Patrick Chambers are in positions where, you know, when you take over a program, a couple of mindsets are in place because of the circumstances the players had gone through. And you almost have to break them away from that to give them a mental fresh start. What kind of work did it take on your part to break some of the veterans away from the mindset of, oh, the second something goes wrong, oh, here we go again, this is the way it's always been? What did it take on your part to break that?
Well, I think first and foremost, it takes time and it takes building trust. Your players need to know that you are not going to change the standards, that you're not going to just talk about it when things are good and then you know, not talk about it when things aren't going good. And we've never done that. I think, you know, our entire coaching staff, here are the standards. We're going to coach you like a championship team. Because if we don't, you know, we just wait till we have all those players in place. Well, then there's no standard. There's no mindset. There's no, you know, winning culture in place to support doing that. And so I think, number one, you have to be really consistent with your message. You have to not waver from it. And then the second thing is that you just really have to communicate and not let guys feel sorry for themselves. So a big turning point for our guys this year, we were playing a game where I think it was the Richmond game, actually, Steve. Or no, you know what? I think it was the Niagara game. We had just come off a tough loss to Richmond, and we were playing Niagara, and it was a tough game, and we felt like we should have won. We lost a heartbreaker. And I came into the locker room after, and I said, guys, here's what I know. I know that we're going to come out tomorrow, and we're going to win this series. And I wasn't doing it, Steve, to like go Joe Namath and predict you know, a win or anything. And I was saying it because I said, guys, I said, here's why I know it. I said, it doesn't always have to go bad. It doesn't always have to get worse. And when you fully accept that, you're down by a run in the seventh inning, all you have to do is keep playing. Like, you don't have to wait around for something bad to happen. And it just clicked. I mean, and I think our guys really said, yeah, you know what? Like, it doesn't have to get worse. And from that point on, we've had, for the most part, from that point on, our guys didn't, no matter the situation, no matter the score, no matter the weather, you know, whatever, they are going out there and competing and playing with the belief that, hey, we can win and we deserve to win. So it's just really a lot of that and teaching it and just not being willing to change your standards.
This is the weekend you could make this happen with TCU, and you took what you could get out of it to get them here to do it. Now, obviously, it's not the easiest weekend. It's also going to be commencement weekend and so forth. And, you know, some students are going to probably end up leaving town. I mean, we're kind of internless right now. So for poor Jason over here, nobody get him coffee. I just get my own. But, you know, but I mean, what kind of promotions do you have around this? I mean, we're going to do the show out there on Friday to talk about this, but, you know, getting a big crowd is awfully important because you stuck your neck out to bring a big team in.
Sure. You know, first of all, you know, Lauren Crispell and his, you know, his group, they really run the marketing for baseball. And, you know, when I announced this when I told Lauren a year ago that we were doing this, I mean, he wanted to start right then promoting the series. I mean, you know, man, you spend a couple minutes around Lauren Crispell, and there's no one that bleeds blue and white more than him and how much he cares about this place. Mm-hmm. And even and baseball here, you know, he talks all the time about when he was a kid that he and his dad and his family kind of adopted Penn State baseball. So he lives and breathes it. So, a couple things that are going to happen this weekend. We're going to celebrate recognize all the people that gave money for our Cuba trip. And so we're going to do a real nice thing on Saturday. The Redlands Little League team is going to be here signing autographs and, different things this weekend. And then, you know, on Sunday we're doing our Burst Cancer game. So after the game, our guys are getting their heads shaved. And there's just so many different things going on throughout the game that, you know, I finally told LC, I said, hey, you run with it. You do what you want. I said, I'm going to worry about coaching my team. Because I was getting exhausted thinking of all the fun things that were going to happen at the ballpark.
Yeah, we had Chase Jones, in fact, on the show last week. I know that because of the doubleheader, he had to move it back a week.
Yep. So. Yeah, what a great organization. What mm-hmm. what a great thing Chase is doing.
Yeah. Give us a thumbnail on TCU. Why are they as good as they are?
Well, they're extremely well coached. Jim Schlossnagel and I coached together at Tulane, and he's one of the best coaches in the game. He's got great assistant coaches that really coach up their respective positions. They can really pitch. I mean, their frontline starters are guys that are you'll probably see in the big leagues down the road, and they've got they're deep in in their rotation and in their bullpen with arms that they can come after you and get out. And then, you know, somebody was telling me that they're struggling a little bit offensively, but the thing that, about them is that they are very multifaceted. They'll short game, they'll run, they'll swing the bats. You know, they don't rely on just one thing. They're very well coached to try to be a really good offensive team rather than just a real good hitting team. And then, you know, the third part of it is that they expect to win. You know, they've been in the College World Series. They play in, you play at a place like TCU and you don't get to the College World Series, a lot of people think that's a disappointment. And so they're used to winning. And when you have a bunch of guys that believe that, that's a really tough thing to beat.
What does it say about them as a program that they said, yeah, we'll come up there, we'll go to Central Pennsylvania, we'll play you?
Well, I it says a couple things. One, first, it says a lot about the Big Ten Conference, you know, that a program like TCU at this time of year would come up here to play a three-game series because they know that if they play well up here and they win, they're going to get really good RPI points for them. So, it's,
right.
You know, that like, you know, for like right now, I want to say that Penn State baseball, we have a higher RPI than like four or five teams in the Big 12. And so, like, it's better for them to play us this weekend than it is to play in their own conference. So it speaks to the level of play in the Big Ten. Second thing is it shows that, you know, they're willing to get outside their comfort zone and challenge their guys instead of just sitting home and playing. And the great thing about it is it's going to do a lot of, you know, it's going to be beneficial for us this year, like we talked about, but then we'll open up the season next year at their place. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, it's a great series for our guys this year and next year.
Coop, thanks so much. I know you've got practice coming up in about 45 minutes. Good one there. And we will see you Friday out at the park.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Rob Cooper, Penn State baseball coach. Very rare when you get the fifth-ranked team in the country into your own backyard. They'll take on Penn State Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend. We'll come back with more in a moment. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com, selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Great to have you with us. Tomorrow, Susquehanna Valley Country Club. We take the Sunbury Motors studio on the road after we're done playing a round of golf to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA, the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Keep in mind, three traffic accidents, by the way, slowing traffic on routes 11 and 15 southbound in Shamokin Dam. So find alternate routes. We want to warn you ahead of time. For those of you who are listening to us, sitting in it right now, saying, yeah, thanks, thanks. We did tell you when we started this half
hour. We sure did, absolutely.
Okay, we did.
That's our job.
I swear to you.
It's our job. That's why we're here.
Hey, my deal now is telling other people who aren't there yet to find someplace else to go. The Big 12 spends money on a survey that we could have told them. We'll tell you what the survey says. And all of it's common sense. That's what I love about surveys. 9 times out of 10, if you just follow common sense, you didn't need to commission the survey. And when you hear this, you'll say, yep. Because these are all things we have talked about on the show many times before. Hey, by the way, I looked at the crop of quarterbacks for next year. There are 16 of them. Only two, in my opinion, are worth drafting. Deshaun Watson and Brad Kaya.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.